The following audio is from The Village Church. More information about The Village Church is available at www.thevillagechurch.net.
I want you just to camp out on that verse. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. That's rich. That's really rich. And, you know, we just gave testimony. That's our story. And that's part of what worship is, isn't it? Some of it is singing to God for the greatness of God. Some of it is singing to one another about the greatness of God. And some of it is posturing ourselves before people who don't know Jesus Christ. And they may be in the room or they may be listening via internet. And they get to hear that song that is sung by those of us in here that we've been redeemed and we've been set free. That is your story. And so you just exalted the Lord. So just think about that for a moment and praise the Lord for that. And pray that God would open your hearts and make just Him, Himself known to you and draw you very close to Him this morning. We don't want to miss Him at all today. We don't want to miss Him at all. And so pray. Seek Him right now. Let's go. Father, we thank You. We bless Your name, that You are jealous for Your name, and that You have brought us here today for us to press into You, for us to cry out to You for fresh mercy, for us to acknowledge our incredible need for You. We all confess, Lord, that some are redeemed here, some are yet to be redeemed. We have all been stuck and tagged in this depravity that keeps us from even wanting to know You. And yet You've been merciful. You have enabled many to have the chains just fall off of us that kept us just stuck in depravity and stuck as an enemy of You. And yet chains have been released by Your effectual work in us. And You have set us free by faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And now we are ransomed, new, redeemed. You have drawn us to Yourself by Your kindness and Your mercy. You have covered us in Your grace. Now You have seated us in the heavenly places, and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Lord, bless Your name. Draw us close today. In the name of Christ, we pray and believe. And thank You that You have held on to us by Your blood. And so make Your way known to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Not that you care about this, but I just want to give you a quick little introduction about who I am and why I'm here today, and just make that brief and then move right on into the talk that God has put on my heart, and that is to pray, to be a people of prayer. My name is Steve Harden. I am brand new on staff. It's really cool the way that we bring staff on. We bring them on and nobody knows about it, and that's really cool. God just says to Matt or to whoever, the elders, bring that guy on, and he's here. And so a month, 2 months, 6 months, a year later, you're going, wow, we pay that guy? You know, and I am one of those guys. In 1993, my wife and I, at the time we had two girls, now we have three kids. We have our girls that were then, of course, younger. Now I have a 17-year-old daughter, Hannah, and my wife, Julie, of 24 years, going on 25, cool, wonderful love years, and hadn't all been perfect, because I'm not perfect. She's close to perfection, but I'm just a dog, and man, we've been blessed and graced, and God has been good to us. And 24 years, and we've been given these three precious children. Hannah, who is now 17, who just 2 weeks ago was accepted into Texas A&M University. And just thought I'd never have that as a part of my life. Yeah, cut that off, right? Yeah, she's going down there to that little school down there, and man, we're just graced by that. And I also have a ninth grade daughter, Gracie. Do you remember what it's like to be in the ninth grade? Men, do you know what it's like to have a ninth grade daughter? If you're young, married, and you have little ones here, be ready. Be ready. That's a fun year, man. And I love her. She's a lot of fun. She's just crazy, crazy for Jesus and cute little thing. And I love my daughters. The Lord's teaching me a lot, still teaching me a lot about how to raise children and daughters. I grew up with all guys in our house. I was born and raised in Old Dallas. And the only female in our house was the queen, my mama. And so we just didn't know really about women and until I got married, and I'm still trying to figure the beautiful women out. And then God, we kind of kicked back for a little while. And then 8 years ago, God allowed us to have another one. And I have got my boy, the little warrior, the little crazy man. His job is to spare his sisters from evil people, and namely guys, boys, any guy that comes over will get shot with a BB gun or hit with a sword. That's what we've trained him. And when he doesn't war against evil people, he wars against his sisters. So it's a lot of fun in our place. Hill is his name. But in 1993, before he was born, when my girls were little, Julie and I were serving over in Rockwall at Lake Point Church. And I was the student pastor there, and God said, move to Abilene. I had attended and graduated from Hardin-Simmons University, that fun little school out in Abilene. And I couldn't get into Baylor, you know. And I wasn't smart enough to go to A&M, and so God opened up the door in my ignorance, and he just said, go to Hardin-Simmons. And so they were about the only school that accepted me, the idiot that I am, and that's where I went. And so I had, from that time, had a great heart for that school and for that town. Three universities there, Abilene Christian University and McMurray and then Hardin-Simmons. And then just a whole bunch of other colleges around the area. So God said, go. 1993, we left. My little girls, we didn't necessarily have a place to live. We didn't have a church to meet in. And we just prayed. We said, Lord, we know you've put it on our hearts to go, and you'll open up that door. I knew I had a heart to speak into college kids' lives, that next generation of students, to be used of the Lord in some menial little way to call guys and young ladies out for his glory and his name's sake. And so the Lord said, go, and we went. He gave us a place to live in, owned by Mrs. Peavy, who's with the Lord now. She owned 240 acres out in Abilene, and she let us live in a little bitty rent house next to her for free. My job was to mow that acreage, and 2 acres of it, that is. And then, I mowed 240 acres. I'm a man. And we did that, and then we started a Bible study called Grace Ministry in Abilene. And I went to a church and knocked on the door in the fall of 1983 and met the pastor there that he didn't know me and I didn't know him. And I just said, dude, God brought me out here. We're going to start a Bible study here, and I'm asking you to give us your facility for that. Now, you don't have to give us the whole thing. Just would you open up the doors, give me keys to use your auditorium on Thursday night for college kids? That church had a day where God really moved in it, but it had declined and was a church that had an auditorium that could seat 1,300 in it. And they were meeting in another room in the church running 70 or 80. And he said, wow, that's a cool vision. I don't know you, but I tell you what, I'll take it to our people. So he took it to his people on a Wednesday night. And he said, would you pray about opening up our place and giving our place to this kid, to this young guy named Steve Hardin from Dallas, said he graduated from here. I don't really know that, but he said that, and he wants to start a Bible study for college kids. And before he could finish it, a godly old buzzhead professor of music at Hardin-Simmons stood up and he said, I know that kid, and I can't even fathom that God would use him to do that here. Literally. I mean, that kid barely made it through any class that I know of. But if God wants to do that, God be glorified in it. Let's give him the service. Let's give him the auditorium on Thursday night. In fact, if he doesn't have an office, let's give him an office for free. And so this pastor called me back on Thursday and said, you are not going to believe this, but this church, our church, has voted to say, come on in. And so in January of 94, we just launched with a prayer meeting with about 60, 70, 80 college kids. In the fall of that year, part of my ministry there was not only to teach on Thursday nights, but my heart was to disciple guys. Just pour my life into some young little radicals, you know? like Scott Coy, who is now a founding elder at Watermark, did for me in the 70s through Young Life and Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And he just poured into me for 2 years and called me out and admonished me and fostered a godly relationship with me. And that was my calling to do that in Abilene. In fact, some of those guys, those first set and round of guys, were guys like Leighton Flowers, who now runs the Baptist General Convention of Texas Youth Evangelism Department. Just a godly kid. And then Brady Trawick, who I just love. Brady is a church planting pastor off of Hill Country Bible in Austin and just a lover of Jesus Christ. And then a kid named Chris Kennedy, a radical who got saved from a lot of crud like all of us, man, and came to Abilene raw and rough. And God just did a work with him. And now he's the pastor of this little place over here called First Baptist Prosper, Texas. And then there was a kid who was a tall, good-looking, loud, wild, smart little guy, tall guy from a southeast town in Texas named Matt Chandler. And Matt just popped on the scene and was so crazy, man. I mean, you think he's something now. You should have seen him raw and right out of the chute then. Brand new, converted to Christ, came to Abilene, not knowing what God was going to do with him other than that there was a calling on his life. And he came to me one Thursday night after Grace Bible study. He said, "Man, I want to do what you do." Really? You want to do what I do? Yeah, I want to be on a platform and I want to be used of the Lord. Really? Well, let me tell you, that's just a little penny-ante part of what I do. If you want to do what I do, then I tell you what, man, you come every Thursday at noon and you sit down and you keep your mouth shut for a year and you let the Word of God just be poured into your life in discipleship. And you just sit there and learn about the doctrines of grace. You learn about how God has worked in election and predestination. You learn about how God works in our lives, man, to admonish us and to grow us and to use us and to humble us and to crush us. You learn about the sovereignty of God. You keep your mouth shut and then come back on Fridays and help me work as a janitor at this place. Because it's not all standing in front of people. It's about cleaning up wrappers that college kids like you leave on the floor on Thursday nights. And that's what I do. I clean this place up on Friday. And you show up and you ante up and we might see that God might use you one day. And wow. It was really wild this summer when at the end of what I felt like was our tenure at First Dallas, I moved back to Dallas in 99 and went on staff at First Baptist Church. And this last year, served as the teaching pastor there and began to just really feel this pressing of the Lord to move me out and to move me away from that place and that area that I love and that I've given our life to. And yet the Lord was pressing. I didn't know if he was going to call us to church plant or to go someplace across seas. I just had no idea. But in July, I just started praying, putting it before the Lord, prevailing, and saying, "Lord, you just do what you want." And God started crushing me. Anybody ever been crushed out there? And he just started taking me down. He said, "You don't worry about anything. You just get down. Get down and seek me." And man, I was low because I knew that God was about to pull me out, and I had no idea what he was going to do with my family, what that next calling was going to be. I just asked him, "Lord, please don't let me go to a place, if it's starting or if it's going to a place to be new wine. Lord, my only prayer is that you just don't send me to a place where I have to go and war old mindset and dead religion again. I just don't want to do that again. But if that's your call, I know you'll give me grace, but I just ask not to." And that was my prayer on July the 12th. I wrote it in my journal. And that night, out of nowhere, I get this call on my cell phone. I hadn't talked to anybody. I hadn't shared my heart conviction with anybody. And that afternoon, man, Matt Chandler left a voicemail for me and he said, "I want to tell you that I love you and I've been thinking about you and God put you on my heart today." Today. And he said, "I really want to talk to you when you get a chance." Man, I tell you what, you would have thought I just heard from the Lord. And that the Lord, just through that kid, that young man now, just encouraged my heart when I was low. And I waited. I didn't call him back. I waited for a while. He'd gone to China, got back. He called me again, and he sat down, and he said, Steve, I want to invite you to come and to pray about being on our team. I need another older guy on the staff. you punk, you know. And you need to know my heart is here. I've been watching this for the last 5.5, 6 years through him. Been watching what God has been doing, been praying for him, lifting up. So what is happening here is so much of my heartbeat. You need to know that. And when he said, would you pray about it, man, I just took some time and I went to the mountains in Colorado to pray and I just sought the Lord and then I eventually came back and I met with him. I said, man, I just feel like God's calling me up there and I don't know what I'll do. I don't really have much to offer to you guys. Man, this thing is rolling and moving and man, I mean, you know, everybody is so on fire for the Lord up there. You don't need me in that place. And yet, man, I just sense that God wants to do something in my life through you and through you. And through you, Matt, I think there's some things for me to learn. And he said, yeah, as a matter of fact, there are. In fact, I want you to listen to me. Listen to me closely, Steve. I want you to come and serve, and I want you to come, and I want you to shut up for a year. And I want you to clean the church. And I want you to do what you tell me to do. And here's a little word from a halfway wise guy to you to say, be careful. The guys that you disciple and pour into one day will be your boss, right? And so, man, it is a real privilege to be able to come and serve alongside him. I feel like and know that the Lord has called me to come and to gird him up, to lift him up, to love him, to encourage those other staff that are here, and then to call you and I and to remind one another that we exist namely and only and ultimately for the glory of God. And the way that we're going to continue to do this work that will be a transforming, God-glorifying kind of work is going to be in the room and in the attitude and in our face before God in prayer. And so I don't find it an accident. In fact, I find it very providential that when God used Matt to say, come, and he said, the first thing I want you to do is lead a prayer meeting at Venture on Wednesday night, that that his call and his invitation for me was to start off the platform of prayer. My pastoring role here is to be the pastor of spiritual formation that oversees the care part of the church, that oversees the groups part of the church, those area pastors, that oversees the connection part of the ministry, and then to come alongside Matt and to love him, to gird him up, and to love you, and to be used of the Lord in some little way to continue to remind us what we already know, and to bug you, and to mess with you, and to push you, and to push me by the grace of God to prayer. And so Wednesday night, I just pick up where I left off there and calling us to prayer. Luke chapter 11 is where we're going to dive in today, and we don't have much time, so let's go there. Luke chapter 11. Jesus Christ was a man of prayer. Do you get that? Please don't forget that. He was a man of much prayer. In fact, on the day that he was baptized, we found that Jesus Christ, that the dove of the Lord descended upon him while he was in prayer. Jesus Christ spent 40 days at the beginning of his ministry in the wilderness in prayer. Before he chose anybody to follow him, particularly those 12, he spent all night in prayer. It is not a frivolous little thing to call those who are the leaders of the church. We are to do it bathed in prayer. Do you get that? Jesus Christ, as he took Peter, James, and John, and he was about to show them who he was in his essence, not just the embodiment of who he was, but who he was in his essence, before he went to the Mount of Transfiguration to step out of his carcass and to show them the glory of God in the flesh, he prayed. Before he asked Peter, Peter, who do you say that I am? He spent time in prayer. Before he incurred the wrath of God on your behalf and on my behalf, he was in that garden and he was on his face before the Lord. He wasn't preaching. He wasn't singing. He wasn't hanging out in community. He was what? He was in prayer. Jesus Christ. And if you studied and examined and watched Jesus Christ's life, you would see that the way that he exercised his judgment and his discernment and his compassion, the way that he exercised life, the way that he did his friends and dealt with those of deep heartache and demonized people and dead religion, the way that he did and dealt with all of that was through the attitude of prayer. The means by which Christ operated, and he's Jesus, was in prayer. And so it would do us very well to hear Christ's heartbeat in this issue of prayer. The disciples, They were hungry. Jesus said, you really want to follow me? You want to know me? You want to come after me? You want to know what my life is like in you? Then be people and men and women of prayer. You want to know how to connect with the Father? You want to know what it's like to have the Spirit fill you and consume you? Then be men and women of prayer. In other words, he was telling his disciples, follow me. Behold me. Watch me. Imitate me. Before we read the text, I got to tell you, my son, who's now 8, last year when he was 7, we play basketball all the time out in our front yard, out on our driveway. We have a basketball court out there, and so we'd go to tourney play all the time, he and I. He was, at one time, he was the University of Texas, and I was the University of Georgetown, and we were playing a championship game, he and I, one-on-one. It got down to 5 seconds left in the game, and I'm up. It's awesome. I'm just beating my son down. So fun. I'm up just a little bit, and he grabs the ball, takes it over here, and I start counting. 5, 4, 3, 2, and he's dribbling. 1, boom, nails what we call a 3. It's probably only 5 feet away, but he nails a 3. He wins the game. Texas beats Georgetown for the championship of Dallas, right? I would always tease him and say, when I'm playing, when we would play, son, I'm on fire. When I would actually make a shot, I'm on fire. I'm on fire. Put it out. Well, on this day, at the end of that game, he runs into the house, and I'm thinking, where's he going? He just won a game. Rub it in a little bit. He comes back out with Gatorade, and he throws it over to me, and I catch it, and he said, Dad, pour it on my arm. I'm on fire. Seven-year-old kid. He'd been beholding his daddy, watching his dad. Jesus Christ said, okay, you want to follow me? Then you got to be willing to go with me all the way to death because that's where I'm going. Behold me. And the way that we're going to do this thing together and the way that I'm going to enable you to make a difference and the way that I'm going to enable you to just make my name known and great, because it goes against the grain of this old depraved flesh, doesn't it? And it goes against the culture of this city, which is all about image and us and me. It's all about projection. It's all about, man, look at me. It is such a me-centered culture. Jesus Christ said the only way that you're going to be able to be enabled to pull off this life, prayer. Prayer. He makes it real clear, Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Now Jesus was praying, and we just have a few moments. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed, catch that. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. First thing that you ask the Lord, that you beseech the Lord about, is that you would say to him, hallowed. He said, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Lord, we recognize every day is a gift from you. Even our meal is your gift. And forgive us our sins. Keep us clean and pure. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not in temptation. That's a huge thing. And he said to them, which of you has a friend, and listen to this, who will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, I need some bread, I need 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is coming from a trip on a journey and I don't have anything to feed him. And he'll answer from within, man, don't bother me, I'm in children with my bed, it's warm, I'm not going to get up. But I tell you though, he doesn't get up and give him anything because he is a friend, and yet because of his persistence and because of his prevailing, because he keeps knocking on the door, he will get up. He's going to rise. He's going to rise. And I tell you, he's going to give him anything that he needs. I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. If you seek, you will find, knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you has, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then who are evil, those of us who are not God, who are not like God, just plain people, those of us who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father who gives will give the Holy Spirit to you who ask. That's huge. Can I just make a couple statements real clear? This month has been a month. We have committed this month as a month of venturing into the presence of God on Wednesday nights. It is a month of prayer. It is about seeking the face and the heart of God. We are declaring to one another and to God and to the nations and to our own consciences that we cannot do this apart from the prevailing work of the Holy Spirit in us. We can't do it. So statement number one that we are making today and this month that I hope will just catapult us into 08, I pray would be really the heartbeat of who we are and what we are at the Village, is that Jesus Christ, it is the will of Jesus that the Village Church be a people and a house of prayer. Do you get that? And so statement number one, we exist to do what cannot be done without the special supernatural grace of God. Get that down, please. We exist right here. We exist to do what cannot be done without the special supernatural grace of God. We do not exist to preach, but we exist to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit so that God would draw people in here and via internet and via podcasting and via your CDs that go out from here of Matt and others that preach and teach. We exist to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit so that God would illumine in the hearts of men and women whose hearts are just dead to God, and God would effectually draw them into His presence and grace them with truth and repentance and let them come to Christ. That's why we exist. We don't exist to worship. We exist to worship in the power of the Holy Spirit every Sunday, so that when you walk in and we begin to sing songs, that the Spirit of God would so illuminate our hearts so that we are awakened in us this new affection for Jesus Christ and for God the Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit, guys, so that we can see Christ here on Sundays and Saturdays and evenings and Wednesdays and through the day. We can literally see Him in here and savor Him and treasure Him and love Him and delight in Him for who He is, and weep and cry and dance. I said dance. And jump and fall on our face and go, whoa, Christ was there. That doesn't happen by mere music or a man or a musician or by good, cool, kicking songs. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. God does that. We don't exist to be a missional people. We exist to be a missional people empowered by the Holy Spirit so that we can take Jesus Christ to this city, to hard, disbelieving hearts. I think that's what Paul had in mind when he said in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, pray for me, pray, continually pray, keep praying for me so that the Word of God, there would be doors that are open that the Word of God may go out without any confusion whatsoever. He knew that it had to be the work of the Spirit that worked in the hearts of men and women to draw them to Christ. And so we pray, guys. Do you understand that? Yes, it is God who causes us to want to pray, but it is our prayers that God uses as a means to bring about events, to bring about salvation, to bring about His kingdom. He chooses to use our prayer as a means to bring about and unleash His Spirit. That's what prayer is. And He makes it clear, prevail at the end in verse 13, prevail in prayer, knock on the door. Pray for the presence and the power and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need it. God's called us to be a church and a people of prayer. Do it. You know, we can't do anything apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, right? You hear what I'm saying? You can't even change a diaper over here where our little ones are hanging out without asking God, God, help me. This stinks so bad. I need your help. My boy and I were watching Daddy Daycare on Friday night. I'm really deep. It's such an awesome thing to watch movies like that. And as we're watching that, the dad who has a son over in the backyard, his son, he notices about to blow up right there. Just blow out right there. And his dad's looking, and then he has a flashback of what it was like when his son was an infant, and he took him to the men's restroom at a restaurant, and he knew his son had a bad, blown-up diaper right there. And as he began to open up that diaper, man, it's so cool, he just couldn't take it, and he froze, and he was paralyzed. And I just thought, we can't even change a diaper over there. We can't even do that without asking God, God, I need more than your common grace. I need special supernatural grace. Right? Can I tell you, listen to me here. A lot of what we do here, our preaching, our teaching, our music, our song, it can all be done based on God's common grace. A lot of what we do is sustained and can be accounted for by God's common grace, right? His general providence over our lives. We can eat because of his providence, his common grace. We can enjoy a good time out with God's common grace. We can preach by God's common grace. We can worship by God's common grace. We don't need just to exercise common grace here. What we need is the continued outflowing and outpouring and movement of the Holy Spirit. We need this Spirit to move, guys. And ladies, and you know how the Spirit of God moves? He moves because we prevail in prayer. Have you ever seen yourself where you've just prevailed in prayer and there's a season where you don't sense that God is listening or that he's indifferent or that he's not there? Your prevailing is good. It's good for your sanctification. If you're there right now and you don't sense to hear the Lord now, prevail. God is gracious and you're prevailing and you're waiting. We'll kill Matt Chandler. If we believe that he's the answer, we'll kill him. Do you hear me on that? He's not asked me to tell you that. The Lord did. If we exalt any man or any person, then you've got incredibly gifted people here that God has brought. You are incredibly gifted people. The Lord's working through you. He's doing a work through you. It is awesome. But let me tell you something, man. God does not share that place with a man or with a people. The best thing we can do for him, for Matt, and this is my call to you, and you already know it, but I entice you again, is that you will pray and prevail in prayer on behalf of him. You know, how in the world do you think that this church was postured 5.5 years ago? First Baptist Highland Village. It had a lot to risk by calling a young man who had never pastored before, who was wild and in love with Jesus Christ and had an anointing unlike anybody I've ever met. You know? I mean, how was this place postured to receive him? And this place was on the go down, right? I've heard the story. I met with one of your elders, one of our elders, Dale Steele. He told me in 3 hours the history. I mean, this place was at a place before most of you arrived, and particularly before I came here. This place was in a place where people were checking out. They were going to other places. You know, 10 years. There were people that were down low on the ground here. And I want you to hear this, please. They were prevailing in prayer. They were knocking on the door. They were taking Jesus' word serious. And they were waiting and pleading for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They were beseeching the Lord. And their prayer was, oh God, use this place for this city, for your glory. Do it, Lord. And it didn't seem to be, there didn't seem to be an answer to prayer for a season. But they continued to pray. They continued to cry out to the Lord. For 10 years, they prevailed in prayer. Low, deep on their face before God, mornings here or some other building, I don't know where, but somewhere on this property they besought the Lord and God heard the cry. And God brought that young man and he walked in here. This place was ready and primed because people had prayed. He was certainly ready and primed. And then God began to bring other people that share like mind, like heart, like love for Jesus Christ. Full of grace and wisdom, and voila, here you have it, huh? We exist to do things that cannot be done without the supernatural grace of God. Keep wailing before the Lord for that. And here's the second thing, and I'm almost done. We exist so that God would display the greatness of God. Hallowed be your name. First thing that Jesus said, pray for. Hallowed be your name. You know what hallowed means? Sanctified. He's asking, he's saying, disciples, followers of Christ, here's what you're to ask. The first thing out of your mouth before the Lord, ask that the Lord would set apart his name in your heart and in your soul so that he would be made great, so that he would be made famous, so that your heart would be jealous for him and not self, and not self praise, and not self-worth, so that he would be praised, so that he would be made great. Hallowed, sanctified my heart, be your name. And so I pray that you would pray with me. Here are some things in closing that I want us to pray about. And we're going to pray about these today. And if you've got a pen and can write these things down, great. If not, don't worry about it. But these things God has put on our heart for 08. Would you pray? Beseech the Lord with me about these, and I run through them quickly. Here they are. Number one, this sounds strange, but pray for prayer. You know what I mean by that? Pray that we would be a God-glorifying, Christ-exalting house of prayer here. That this place, God would turn it into a place of prayer more than we've ever seen before. That we'd be hungry for prayer, hungry for God in prayer. Prayer's not the end. The means is prayer. God is the end. We want more of him, don't we, in 08? Even if you don't think you do, you need more of him. We need more of him. So pray for prayer. Number two, pray for your leadership that God has placed over you. It is a very difficult task. It is a hard work, as Paul said to Timothy. It is a difficult work, and it yet is our work, and it is our calling as shepherds of the church and those that come alongside us to help serve you. It is a very difficult thing. It is an impossible task apart from the grace of God to help you perform living by the truth, building community, living out Christian spirituality, doing missional living, and being servants and foot washers of one another. That is impossible apart from the grace of God. It is impossible to present you, every one of you, perfect in Christ on that day. We have, as shepherds, a huge accountability for God. We don't take that lightly. I certainly don't. And so pray for your leadership. I know this may be an unusual day for you. You may have thought, man, Steve, we were looking for something else. Well, let me tell you something, baby. This is what you're getting. You're getting the call to pray. You're going to tithe. I pray that you would tithe this day. This Sunday we're giving is unto the Lord to prepare our hearts for the rest of the year to pray for our leadership. They need you. Pray that they would be full of the Holy Spirit. Pray that they would be, that we would be full of power. Pray that we would be full of wisdom and grace. My prayer is for Matt Chandler to go until the day that Christ calls him home, strong, full of power, full of grace, full of wisdom, never failing, never waning, constantly full of the power of the Holy Spirit. There's so much more work that I believe God has in store for him and for the body of Christ through him. So pray. Pray for Josh Patterson. I've never met, and I mean this, and I say never, I've never met a sharper young man than Josh Patterson. And pray for him that God would guard his heart. Pray for their families, their wives. Pray for all of our leadership. Michael Bleeker, who stands and leads us to the throne room through song. Pray for him and his family and all of the others. You know them by name. Pray for them. Our ladies on staff, our folks that are single on staff, that they would continue to have undivided attention for the Lord. Pray for all of your people that give leadership. Pray, pray. Number three, pray for one another. That's what we do. We pray for one another. Pray for one another that we would be utterly God-besotted people this year. Pray that all of us would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray. Pray that we would all strive to know the height and the depth and the width of the love of Christ. Pray that love, that the love of Christ would abound in this fellowship this year like we've never seen it abound. You know how that's going to happen? The means by which that's going to happen? I know. Obedience to the Word. I know that. But you know how that's going to be fueled? In prayer. Prayer. So pray, pray, pray for one another, and then pray quickly. Pray also for weekend ministries, for these services. Just pray that God would just every week, there would be such an expectation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God that people come in, and I mean God just draws them to Christ on that day that people are converted to Christ. Pray. Pray that there would be healings here. Pray that there would continue to be relationships restored. Pray that God would continue to grace us with reconciliation. Pray that God would continue to deliver from deep, dark stuff. Pray, pray. That's how we're going to have to pray this year. People need that are going to be brought here by the Holy Spirit. Pray. And then pray for 08 that, number one, God would give us more converts than we've ever seen before to Jesus Christ. I pray for kids. I pray for the little ones. I pray for the babies. Pray for teenagers. Pray for students all over this area. Pray that this place could be filled with kids that are brought in here to know Jesus Christ. Pray that God would bring in, continue to bring in a bunch of messed up, given to a lot of crud in their life, just like me. That God would bring them in and speak to them and heal them and minister to them, and we'd give them grace. Pray, pray. And then last, pray that God would raise the funds through you and through me, $6 to $8 million maybe dollars. We've bought this building, the Albertsons over there, but we now need to finish it out. It's got lettuce still hanging around and meat in there, and we've got to clean it up, and it just costs a little bit to do that. And so pray. It's no big deal. It's huge to us, impossible for us, but God can do it. And so God's going to be glorified in it. We don't do it so that we can have this building and go, oh, wow, look at this little cool building. That's idolatry. We don't give a rip about a building. What we do care about is providing space so that more people can come and experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. All right. Lord, we thank you. Bless your name for being among us today. Thank you for choosing us, for calling us out today. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to breathe in us this desire, even when we don't have it, to seek you. We need you, Lord, this year. There are marriages that need you. My marriage needs you. My children need you. I need you desperately. Lord, these families need you. These students in this community need you. These little babies. Oh, God, I pray for the little ones here that they would be able to come to know you at a young age, every one of them, that we wouldn't miss one of them, that every one of them would name the name of Christ young, and that they would live for your glory young, and that they would not live as I have lived in my own life, neglecting you and forgetting you and living just feeding my depravity and my flesh. And yet, Lord, I thank you for your grace. But Lord, I pray that these little ones could live a life where they bypass all of that junk and they live for you all the days of your life. Make them all little Samuels, Lord. Make them all little Samuels and Samuel girls that love Jesus. And where there's disunity, bring harmony. And where we're caught up in secondary issues that are unimportant, let us be really committed to the main things. The true doctrines that we ought to stand for and unmask the error where those are concerned. Let us be people of the word and gracious as we teach it and live it. So even save some today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you today. Be blessed by God's grace. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to audio from the Village Church located in Texas. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about The Village Church, please visit us online at www.thevillagechurch.net.